bear. Welcome, Spicy Maniacs, to the legendary Spicy McHaggis Show. And I'll bring on Hollywood Rick Brutal to join us as well momentarily. Here we are. Hollywood, welcome.
Thank you, Spice. But you forgot to mention the Academy Award-winning Hollywood Rick Brutal.
Oh, I forgot. The Academy Award-winning Hollywood Rick Brutal. Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah. Woo. Did you know yesterday was... Did you know it was Ric Flair's birthday yesterday?
Oh, no.
It was. It was the Nature Boy's birthday. And you didn't even wish him a happy birthday.
Oh, well, I'll send him
You're
something.
You're out of the will.
I had a different party yesterday. Yesterday was the, ready for this one? The 40th anniversary of the release of Physical Graffiti.
Really?
Oh,
yes. That's a great album.
So I was
I
at
love
listening to
Zeppelin.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was at a party last night. Damn it. I can't believe I forgot it was Ric Flair's birthday.
Yeah, I can't believe it. You're out of the will.
I was even his birthday.
You know you weren't. I was. Me and the Nature Boy go way back.
I go back, not way back like you two. You know.
Well, you're not old enough to go that far back.
That's true.
As us two, but
and we just got back.
We got
a
few people in the chat here, and we got a couple callers already.
And my show was last night. What the hell? Why didn't anybody say anything to me last night about this? What were you?
I guess I need to remind you of these things.
I guess, damn it. You know what it was? We were in Hollywood all weekend. No pun on my name. You know, Saturday were the what they call the Film Independent Spirit Awards for the independent films, and then Sunday night, of course, were the Academy Awards. But what was funny was a couple of the, like some of the big movies this year, the Academy Awards, were independent films. So I was hanging out with these guys all weekend. You know, the Academy, the Independent Awards Saturday were like at 2 p.m. for some reason, and then you know, I guess not to to give people time to rest up the Academy Awards the next night. So. It was a busy weekend for us. You know, Steffers went with me. She was my photographer. And I knew already Shell was going to be co-hosting with me. So she was invited to go along, too.
It's a sad day when I have to remind you of things. I'm supposed to be the one who's supposed to be senile.
But I had a really busy weekend. I had such a big weekend. Come on now. I won the Academy Award.
I guess so. Didn't you win two or three of them?
I won one for I was just up for the category Best Stunt Work. So I won the Golden Globe for that. And the Academy Award for Captain America Winter Soldier.
I heard a rumor that Kanye said you should have acknowledged Beyonce and that you gave him a DDT. Is that true?
Yes.
Good.
Well,
good.
No. What happened was I said that goddamn Kanye West show ruins anybody's moment. I'm going to DDT his ass to the table. So. Miraculously never showed.
Oh, he didn't show. Oh, that's a shame. That's a shame. Look, we got a lively chat. I've been gone for so long.
Yes.
I don't know. Is this Sin person here? Is that the Nightmare Sin that used to be around when I was back hanging around? Unstoppable.
I'm not sure. I don't think it is.
No, it's a different Sin.
It's
too many sins around Unstoppable.
We have lots of sin in Unstoppable.
Yeah, there's lots
don't
of sin.
Remind me. Yes, this is the reason why Shell had I asked Shell to co-host with me this week. Again, there is another religious group, a religious cult coming around, and they've already claimed Candy, and now I think they kidnapped Judge over the weekend.
Really?
Yes.
That's been done, though, hasn't it? I mean, the greatest religious cult I can recall was, of course, the Ministry of Peace, which was my religious cult. But, I guess what, you know.
Yeah, well,
anyway.
It was you and Dragon, you know, back in the day, and Susie.
Yeah.
But, you know, did we do that, like, last year? I mean, I wasn't involved in that. It was, like, last year, wasn't
Yeah, we pissed off a few people. People get pissed off over the religious thing. Politics and religion always sure to piss people off.
Oh, yes. We bitch and moan about WWE rehashing storylines every 5 years, and here it is people rehashing a year later. At least come up with something original, people.
Yeah, at least give it a couple of years so people can forget about the first one. But, oh well. Anyway, There's always room for a religious cult or two. You know, yeah. I've been actually back wrestling in Unstoppable a little bit here and there, just in McHaggis' place only.
Oh, very good. Congratulations.
Ah, just a bit, you know. Nothing. I'm not back full time or anything, but just the odd match. I still got it though. There's not too much ring rust. I thought I'd have more ring rust than I've had.
I'm sorry, to cut you off, sir. You have a teaser towards the end of the show about the next show we're doing.
A teaser.
I don't want to say it now.
We have several callers, but I don't know if they're just people listening or if they actually want to come on air. So I'm going to get to them in a bit. But I'm not going to bring them on just yet.
I have people already working on this now on a fact-finding mission. And I will discuss it with you during the week. I want to talk to you before about, we had a little, you know, our little pre-show meeting earlier, and I was like, oh, damn it, I forgot to mention this to you. So
you're going to have, toward the end of the show, you're going to may hold everyone in suspense all that time.
Yes.
Oh, bloody hell. That's terrible. Well,
or maybe we can make them forget, you know, that I said anything by then.
Yeah, they probably will. They have short attention spans, the people of Unstoppable, as you well know.
I blame the internet for that.
Yeah, it could be that. I blame drugs, mostly.
Oh, both. Or both.
Maybe drugs and the internet.
I want to videotape somebody. Don't know if they're us watching cat videos for an hour.
You want to what? Sorry?
I want to videotape somebody stoned off their ass watching cat videos for an hour.
Oh, man.
Why?
Cat
I don't
videos.
Know. Or
dreadful.
Something. That you...
Did you know that cats used to have 50 lives?
Really?
They did. They used to
what
have
happened?
50 lives. Well, what happened is a cat scratched Chuck Norris's favorite chair, and he roundhouse kicked him. And it
yes.
permanently killed 41 of his lives for all future generations of cats.
Like this.
Such a fierce round, yeah. Chuck Norris.
Just...
That's what happened.
You
That's
know,
my Chuck Norris fact of the day.
I have something. If you clone Chuck Norris and they fight each other, the universe will instantaneously implode.
Who? If who fought Chuck Norris?
If Chuck Norris cloned himself and they fought each other, the universe would instantly clone. I mean, instantly implode.
That's probably true. Probably true. Yeah. Now, I'm kind of reading the chat as I'm talking here. That's why I keep pausing like that. It's not, I wasn't trying to make like for an uncomfortable silence or anything.
Yes. Count wants to come on. He said he'll wait. Tanky is has her area code. She says bring on when you want.
Oh, so one of the callers is Tank Girl and one is the Count. Then.
Yes. And
now,
I don't
the
know
Count's the fella that does the show with Susie. I heard a bit of Back to Basics with them, actually. Now, I'm not familiar with that fella. He must have come along since I was gone from Unstoppable. And Tank Girl's always a welcome. So what's Tank's... no, there's callers popping up and disappearing, and I don't know whether my switchboard's fucky or what's going on. Oh, well, we could bring them on, I guess, unless there's anything you wanted to address first before we bring the callers.
Do you want me to wait to bring up the topic we discussed or bring it up first?
Oh, go ahead, actually.
Yeah, all right, so there's
a couple things I wanted to discuss, too, but go ahead.
Up to everybody else. Okay, so this is what happened. Last week on one of the Facebook wrestling groups, somebody was talking about the very first faction. Rigo points to the Four Horsemen. You know? And then somebody mentioned, wait a minute, what about the Fabulous Freebirds? They were heels first. And so, but they were more a three-man tag team, you know, a three-man tag team, but they did hang out together.
That's what I
know, all the time. You know, they hung out all the time, like, and I was saying, like, you know, Dusty Rhodes and the Road Warriors, they were a tag team, but they didn't have, like, a common name, you know, like a faction-type name, and they didn't hang out together all the time. But then I was saying, okay, so you have, like, the Young Family. That's a stable. You have the Force, that's a faction. So I'm throwing a to the chat room, anybody who's listening. What do you think? What's the difference between a faction and a stable? Or just like, obviously, the Freebirds, would they be a faction or would they be a stable as a three-man tag team?
That's a good
and
one.
If that's the case, are the Four Horsemen truly the first faction, or can you point fingers to another group?
I would say that since there was a six-man tag team title, I would have called the Freebirds a tag team.
Oh, okay. So
there were three of them. But I would have called the Heenan family a faction, even though he called them a stable. I would have called them a faction because more or less they were a faction, right? Pretty much.
That's what I'm trying, because that was after the Horsemen, and you already had the word faction.
The Horsemen were first, yeah. Yeah.
Right, but I don't know, because they always said that they were just a stable. So
I'm not sure what the difference would be.
A faction?
Would they not be the same thing?
I don't know, because do we have a proper definition of a stable and a faction?
That's a good question. I believe that the Four Horsemen were, in fact, the first faction. I would have called the Fabulous Freebirds a tag team, a six-man tag team.
Now, what's funny is they were in WCCW doing their thing, the Von Erichs versus the Freebirds. That was like the main storyline of the 80s. But they have six-man tag team title belts.
But what about the Von Erichs? Would they qualify then as a faction?
Well, no, because in the true sense of the word, they were a real family.
Yeah, true.
I mean, they were all blood related, so. Oh, Drifty says, if Bobby Heenan says it's a stable, it's a stable. Bobby Heenan is always right.
That's a good point, though.
So.
All right.
I will look this up. How about this? Let's take it to the interwebs.
If you disagree with Bobby Heenan, he'll waffle you.
That's right.
Waffle you. Well, let's bring a caller on then to see what they think, where they weigh in about this. Now, is this Tank Girl right here the first caller? Or is it the count? The callers keep popping up and disappearing, and it's really pissing me off. Well, it's just annoying me because I don't have much of an attention span, and it's kind of baffling me as to what's going on there. All right, let's bring on a caller. Caller, you are on the air.
Hi, Spicy. It's Mrs. Bubbles.
Oh, hello, Bubbles. I was expecting
a
Tank Girl for some reason. Welcome.
Hi, Wynn.
How you doing,
Bubbles? What do you think of Hollywood's question?
My bodyguard's with me as usual. My bodyguard. Icon won't let me go anywhere without him.
Oh, is that the count with you, or who have you got with you?
Greetings and salivations.
Greetings. Welcome.
Hello, White Lightning.
Oh, hey, Hollywood. Hey, Spicy. How is everybody doing?
We're not unwell. What do you two think of, I'm not unwell. I can't speak for Hollywood. He won an Academy Award the other day, though.
That's right.
What do you think of Hollywood's question? Were the Four Horsemen, in fact, the first faction?
Well, actually, if you go a little further back in the NWA, there was, you had the, what was it, the Iron Sheik. You had his group, which was considered a faction back then. But even closer to more modern days, you had the Brood.
Right, okay.
That was a faction because it wasn't really a stable.
What is the difference between a stable and a faction, though?
Well, a faction is a group of individuals that not all of them are wrestlers. The Hart Foundation.
Right.
Jimmy Hart, the Mouth of the South, and his Hart family.
Right, okay.
That goes all the way back to, what was it, 1981?
I think
when he was in Memphis.
Okay, so how about this one then? A stable is defined when the manager is the main person. A faction No, because I was looking here, and somebody says, I was looking somewhere here, somebody says the difference between a stable and a faction is a stable is when the manager is the main holding point or the main person.
Like the Heenan family.
Right. And then a faction.
Or the Jimmy Hart.
Like J.J. Dillon was the manager, but he was more the businessman. You know what I mean? He was the business manager of the group when the others could talk actually better than him sometimes. So.
Well, okay, Jim Cornette had a stable.
Okay. Oh, yeah, he talked for his guys all the time.
Yeah.
You had Bobby the Brain, and then you had, who was the Weasel? Well, Bobby the Brain was the Weasel.
Right, and he had a King Sam.
The Orndorffs. That was considered a family, but it was actually a faction because there were three members that were in the Orndorffs that weren't Orndorffs.
The Orndorffs.
Yeah, I'm going back a few years.
I would say the only Orndorff I know of is Paul Orndorff. Wonderful.
Yeah, same here.
This was back when Bruno Sammartino was the champion.
Oh, okay.
Paul Orndorff, what was the old man's name?
This is all on you. Let me see if I can look this up here, and I'll clarify. Let me see if I get some clarification here.
But
Von
Erich...
Consult the interwebs.
There were members,
does anyone here remember the Varsity Club with Kevin Sullivan as the leader? And
oh, yeah.
The Dungeon of Doom?
No, it was the Varsity Club. It was before that.
Oh, the Varsity Club.
Was,
yes. Dr. Death, Steve Williams, and Rick Stein.
Yeah, right.
And IRS. What was his name for then? Oh,
Mike
Rotunda.
That would have been a faction, would it not?
Yeah, I think that would have been a faction.
I don't know, because in that one, Sullivan did most of the talking, didn't he?
But he was a wrestler more so than a manager, too.
Yeah, then I guess that would be a faction. You're right, because he just pulled these guys together.
Yeah.
What would you consider Degeneration X?
That's a faction.
Faction.
A stable, to me, is...
The X had no manager.
They have in WU is a stable.
Right.
Hey. Helter Skelter is a damn good stable.
That's the thing that throws me off in WU, because what they're stables, I think those are more like factions.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're all wrestlers.
Right, and there's no, like, you can, like, if they could have a guy who could be, like, a manager, you know what I mean, just one guy in charge of the group, then yes, that'd be a stable. See, I wish in the future, going forward, and if Kevin's listening to this tonight, that we could have factions. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have, like, just, like, you can have a page and, like this is our faction and this is our acting manager, you know.
Whatever happened to managers? Remember in Unstoppable we were supposed to have managers at one point?
Yeah, I don't know what happened with that.
That's OOC, though.
And then, what was that?
That's OOC, though.
Oh.
No, we were actually supposed to be able to create managers.
You can make a manager. Yeah, you can make a manager like an NPC, and he just, like, you're managed by, and you can make up a name of a guy.
Oh, something like Drifty?
Drifty is my business manager, so he is my manager.
Something like that I would love to see. Like, if Drifty won his own faction, and he would be in charge of it, and he could have wrestlers listed under it, but they don't have to wrestle together in, like, USL or anything like that.
That would be something interesting to talk about, too.
Yep. But, yes, Mrs. Bubbles, Hellcat Anarchist, is under the Drifty Management Corporation. So
exactly. Something like that. Exactly.
Like, I should do that that I'm more or less retired. I should just be a manager.
Like, see, for example, he could start, like, even though the Scum Army is no more, he could start, like, we were joking around at one point. Like, last year, I think I was joking around, like, we could have something called Scum Incorporated. And they could be like the business end of the Scum Army.
And I could manage people. I'd be a great manager.
Yes, you would.
Spicy, going back to something you were saying at the very beginning about the cults, You do realize the new cult that just kidnapped Judgment, they tried to blame you for it.
They blamed me for it?
They
yes,
did?
They tried to.
Hey, come on. I didn't do that. I'm not taking the rap for that one.
I don't
want to kidnap Judgment. I've spent enough time around Judgment.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Somebody just said something funny in the chat. Hold on. Wait, where is it? Where is it? I can't see.
Spicy, you were the guest referee for that, weren't you?
I was a guest referee. Is that why they're blaming me? That's why they're blaming me, right? I was the guest referee for their match in RAWF. And then that match resulted in Judgment being kidnapped. Who would kidnap Judgment? Most people would pay to have them take Judgment back. Like,
well, I give them a few hours.
They must be sick people indeed if they want to spend time around Judgment.
Well, I love spending time around Judgment.
Well, okay, if you say.
Yeah. Your name's White Lightning. That would denote that you probably drink moonshine. So if I drank enough moonshine, I might not mind Judgment.
Well, see, the thing is, me and Judgment went into as business partners. I came up with a moonshine spermicide.
Bloody hell. I went into business with Judgment before, and we went around helping out companies in Unstoppable, and then it always resulted in us destroying the companies and then getting defanned by a bunch of people.
Yeah, remind me not to let you and Judgy come over to CSWF at the same time.
That wasn't my fault. That was all Judgment. That was all Judgment.
That was all Judgment.
I
blame Judgment too, because he's not here. So,
yeah, exactly. He's not here to defend himself, so he can take the blame for that one.
That's right. Yes.
Far be it from the Scum Army to do anything dishonorable or anything like that.
We were quite the honorable chaps. What are you talking about?
Yeah, we were. We just helped people out. We were all for helping out and benefiting companies and whatnot. So shall we bring another caller on to see where they weigh in on the faction question? I think you answered your own question, Hollywood.
I guess so, sadly. I guess
you did.
Well, how about this one then? What was everybody's favorite stable / faction / family / what?
The Four Horsemen. Four Horsemen.
That's mine, yes. You know why? You know why I like the Four Horsemen over the NWO?
The Scum Army.
I mean TV wrestling. I'm sorry, TV wrestling, not WU. Non-WU. Well,
all that.
There were only four horsemen. I mean, it got to the point, who the hell was not in NWO by the time WCW closed?
True.
I mean, Christ almighty, they filled the ring up. There was more, I think when the NWO, at their height, you know, the first time they were around, I was like, good Lord, you got half the roster on this thing.
WCW dragged out the NWO thing way too long, and then sooner or later everybody was in the NWO, and what really killed it for me was when Sting joined the NWO.
Yeah, when they were the red and black, yes.
Yeah, that was just
look
the
at
last
this. Strifty's writing everything down to tell his daddy. Well, your daddy's kidnapped, so where is he? How are you going to tell him? Unless you know where he is, Strifty. Strifty knows where he is.
Don't look at me to pay his rent either.
I'm not paying it.
I'm broke. So you answered your own question, so I'm not going to bring up. That I wanted to pose, actually.
Yes.
With the recent developments in the WWE with Roman Reigns, you all saw when Roman Reigns won the Royal Rumble, and it was a disappointing Royal Rumble. I thought it was too. I thought the last few were disappointing compared to back in the day. But many of the pay-per-view events nowadays I find disappointing. But the fans booed. There's resounding boos, and it seemed like they didn't want Reigns to win. And so then you got this whole thing coming about where there was the match with Reigns against Daniel Bryan at Fastlane or whatever they call it.
I think the reason they called it that, because earlier that day they had it scheduled the same day as the Daytona 500.
Yeah. I think they called it that because it's the road to WrestleMania. So
maybe that's it.
But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so if you won that match, you automatically got the shot at the title.
Yeah, right.
Even though that was to begin with, but
yeah. So if you win the Royal Rumble, you should be in line for the title shot at WrestleMania. That's always been the rule.
Right. That's how
they broke the rule because the fans booed so much and whined about it and boycotted the network and all that, right?
Yes.
Do you think because of this, like the fans dictating that much power over who wins and loses, is kayfabe dead? Like, is storylining in wrestling dead now? Have they killed that?
I would say kayfabe is dead.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
90% of the time, you can find out who's going to win the match before the match even happens.
But here's the thing about that whole thing, the internet bitching about Roman Reigns winning. They set this whole thing up. They had this big match, and he's still going to WrestleMania.
Yeah, either way. They just dragged it out a bit longer.
You know what? I wish Triple H was in charge, because I got to give him credit. He really doesn't give a rat's ass what the internet thinks.
And did you notice the other night on Raw, the fans were cheering for Reigns?
Yeah. All of a sudden, I noticed. I said that to somebody. Like, wow, he wins this match, and all of a sudden now, you know, he's being cheered.
It's like now he's suddenly paid his dues or something.
Yeah, okay. You beat Daniel Bryan, so now you can go. It's okay. You're the guy.
I got to admit, though, that was a damn good... I think it was a damn good match that the two of them put on.
It was the best match on a shitty card. I'm sorry. I wasn't happy with the whole card.
Oh, just a sec here. Go ahead. I'm getting messages here.
A few of the matches ended. Yeah, I was just, you know, just these like odd endings, like the way Goldust won with that roll up pin, and it was like it's over. The way Paige lost, the way Cena lost. You know, and I said as soon as that was over, I said they're going to set up. This is what I think they're going to do for WrestleMania. I said this right after that thing. They're going to set something up, like it's going to be a submission match or an I Quit match, and Cena's going to do something like, if I can't beat Rusev, I'm going to retire. And they're going to build where he has to win or he's going to retire, and this way the stakes so friggin' high, you know what I mean, that he's going to win.
No, is there an area code?
Another movie in the works. Is that why...
I don't. If he has a movie in the works, that means he's leaving. I can't see him setting up this big match, especially for WrestleMania.
But then again,
I think it's all a storyline. I think Cena. Were you saying? Do you think Cena? He'll be at WrestleMania, obviously, right?
Oh yeah, because he's a rematch, right? He wants a rematch.
Yeah.
But Rusev told him Monday night that he couldn't have the rematch.
Yeah, Rusev said no.
Right, and I think what he's going to do is he's going to try and sweeten the pot. Because didn't Rusev say there's nothing in it for me? I already beat you.
He just said he doesn't deserve it.
Right, so I think that's what he's going to do. I think he's going to say something along the lines like, tell you what, here are the stakes. We're going to do it like this, and if I can't beat you, I retire.
If Cena can't beat Rusev, and then he'll go for it. I thought something like that. I thought maybe Cena would just antagonize Rusev into accepting or something.
We got about 3 weeks left. Just about 30 days. We have about 30 days left. We have a month left of WrestleMania. So we'll have to see what happens.
What else are they going to do with Cena now? He's washed up now.
I don't think he's washed up. He's only been around 11 years. I mean, Ric Flair was around how many years? I'm not calling him a Ric Flair, but I'm just saying.
He doesn't have the staying power. He doesn't have the charisma or anything.
You don't think Cena has the charisma?
With the kids, maybe. But
that's what I'm saying, with the kids he does. But remember, those kids who watched him like year two or three, they're grown up now. They're 8 years older.
True. I actually like Cena better when he's not the top guy.
Yeah.
I'd like Cena do a heel turn. I really would.
I would like to see that. I
don't
like
think they're
going to
do it yet.
Look,
I can't
what
see
Hogan did with his – when Hogan's career looked washed up, he did the heel turn, right? And then look what that did for Hogan.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time for Cena to do the heel turn. I liked Cena better as a heel, really.
I like when he did the Dr. Thugonomics.
Yeah, yeah.
He had some great trash talk then. His trash talk lately has been like – and lately, I mean the last 16 years, has been horrible.
I miss his raps when he came out and he did the raps about the other wrestlers. To kind of
Dr. Thugonomics.
Yeah,
exactly.
He's a better heel. I like him better as a heel. He's not as cheesy. All this hustle, loyalty, and respect crap. Boring. I guess he wants to be a good role model for the kids or whatever, but...
I guess so.
It's kind of like the Hogan train, say your prayers, eat your vitamins thing. Yeah. I don't know. I liked Hollywood Hogan better than Hulkamania.
Did you?
Yeah.
I guess I didn't because I didn't like the fact that NWO had, like, all those members in that group.
Yeah, but at first they only had three. Like when he first became Hollywood Hogan, there was only him and the Outsiders. Then they were cool. They were cool for a while. They were cool when all they had were former WWE stars. And they were acting like WWE was coming in and taking over.
Right, right.
They were cool and until they started getting all the WCW guys. Then that's when they became less cool, yeah. When they got Buff Bagwell and everybody that buffed this stuff.
You know, okay, this might be dating my manager, but I remember Buff Bagwell back in the in his original days when it was American Males and...
yeah, I remember them.
And Scotty Riggs.
Yeah,
and
right.
Buff Bagwell was... I don't remember him ever really working the mic that well.
No, he wasn't good at all.
But, you know...
He wasn't good on the mic until he was in the NWO, but... Bath, they just ruined the whole concept. They could have done so much more with it than what
they did.
Like
I said, they had way too many members.
Yeah. Well, they just dragged it out too long, and it just became overdone.
He's saying, what about the Main Street Posse? Anybody remember that one?
Oh, God, yes. That was
I remember
that. That was ridiculous.
They were ridiculous. Who were those guys? Were they established wrestlers at all before
that?
I didn't think so.
I really thought they were friends. James, and he just brought them in.
Yeah, that must be. I don't know.
They were there to aid Shane McMahon.
Right.
Well, okay. We've kept this guy waiting way too long. He's probably gonna play his intro here, so let's see. Let's bring on this fella.
Okay.
Gonna bring another caller on.
Do you know the Muffin Man?
No!
Do you know the Muffin
Man? No!
Do you know?
No!
Do you
know? No! No! God, please, no!
I'm sorry. Your call did not be through. Will you please hang up and try your call again? This is a recording.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome, Count.
Hello, Spicy McHaggis. I've not seen you since, like, Scum Radio Wrestling days.
No, I've been absent for a long time, but I am back.
Little sad you don't remember me, but I was just raising the ranks when you left, so.
Yeah, I guess
I am the last Scum Radio Wrestling primetime champion before the company went, you know, balls up.
Ah, I see. Well, I wasn't even in the company at that point. Like, I hadn't actually been in Scum Radio Wrestling for a long while before I left.
Yeah. and did you hear about the, you know, the Mike Zodiac Scum revival that he was trying?
Yes. He was trying that when I was still around.
He invited yours truly, and, well, I turned him down and said, unless it came from Spicy or, you know, Relic, it was a pointless endeavor.
Zodiac. Is he still around?
as far as I know, he rage quit, but he could be lingering. I don't know. He's like
he
a silent fart.
He used to rage quit once a week, though. so that would be...
It's settled down to about once a month. I think he's finally got a grip on his condition.
I wonder if he's still hanging out with Toby Harris. Toby Harris was 9 years old, I believe. Was
it Hollywood?
Do you care
if I answer both of Hollywood's questions? I just have things to add a little tiny bit.
Go right ahead.
First, my favorite stable faction, whatever, is Evolution, just because I know Horseman is a close second, but I've always enjoyed Evolution. And
I'm
also
a big Randy Orton fan, so, yeah.
Well, yeah, he's Stone Cold Baby Oil Orton. But I also think that it's really semantics. So there's really no real distinction between stable and faction other than, well, a stable has a manager, like an actual manager that's heading the talent. And so the Four Horsemen, you could say, was a stable because there was a manager, but it was not really shined on the manager, so I would say it's more of a faction. Because, you know, Arn Anderson and everybody else in the Four Horsemen, you know, it was not just Ric Flair as the manager.
Right.
I seem to recall back in the day watching wrestling in the early 80s, I think they referred to them as a stable, actually. I don't think they were referred to back then as a faction. I never heard the term faction until, like, the 90s.
Yeah,
it's a 90s inception. But I consider kind of like mathematics, because all squares are rectangles, but not all rectangles are squares. All factions are stables, but not all stables are factions.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it.
Fair enough, yeah. I'd agree with that. Because I think they were referred to as a stable, and I think actually back then I actually heard the Freebirds referred to as a stable also. But
stable faction doesn't really... They instituted the Freebird rules that I wish WWE would have used with the Shield when they were around.
Yeah.
And what, that any two could defend the titles?
Yeah, I would have loved
that,
the Freebird rules.
Yeah. That made it interesting. Right now, that's what that New Day group is doing.
Yes.
Have the titles, but they select two out of the three to go in. You never know which two it's going to be. I don't like the New Day at all.
I like all three of the two of the three talents. I just don't like the whole gimmick of it.
It's cheesy, isn't it?
It's cheesy.
Yeah.
Look, I like Kofi Kingston. I like Xavier Woods. Big E's actually not that bad for a big guy.
Three young talents they just didn't know what to do with, so they threw them into a team like that.
Kofi's been there for years, and Kofi wasn't really doing anything, so it's doing gave him something.
They're
going to go the way of the three-man band. That's how I look at it.
All right. I just found this thing, this pro wrestling wikia, and it says here, in professional wrestling, a stable is a group of wrestlers within a promotion who have a common element, friendships, either real or storyline, a common manager, or a common storyline, which puts them together as a unit. Stables can be small alliances of 3 to 6 wrestlers, like Evolution, The Cabinet, Eminem, The Dudley Boys, Team Extreme, Team Canada, Planet Jarrett, The Latin American Exchange, and others, or supergroups that include up to half the promotion's talent roster, like the NWL, Sports Entertainment Extreme. Often the loudest of them appear in promos, occasionally with another wrestler whose gimmick is to be largely silent, perhaps even mute, but nonetheless nodding or gesturing in wild agreement. One of the most famous stables in wrestling history was the Four Horsemen.
And it calls them a stable. Yeah.
It calls them a stable. Yeah, a stable in Jim Crockett Promotions and World Championship Wrestling, originally formed in 1986 by Ric Flair, his cousins, in quotations, the Andersons, Arn and Ollie, and Tully Blanchard. Okay.
And James D. Dillon and
There's more here. It says typically the use of the term is restricted to groups that exist within the scripted storylines of a promotion. One of the more famous groups of wrestlers in recent times, the clique of WWF in the mid-1990s, is more accurately called a backstage group, because the WWF never directly acknowledged the group's existence in its storylines. However, several members of the clique did form the core of the promotion's D-Generation X stable, as well as WCW's NWO stable.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah. And for those people who are interested, here's a very long list of current and past stables. And it is a long friggin' list.
I hope you're not going to read it. Are you posting
it
in the
chat? Oh, no. I am not going to read it. We'll be here all night if I read this list.
Oh, and so I heard someone talk about John Cena and Ric Flair earlier and, saying he has another longevity.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because he has only one title of tying Ric Flair's record.
Mm-hmm.
And when he gets that title, I am calling him the Nature Boy John Cena.
Well, here's the deal. They're questioning whether they're going to do that or not, because I think Cena doesn't want to do that.
I can understand, but if it ever happens, I will call him Nature Boy John Cena, and then after that, if he turns heel, I will call him Hollywood John Cena.
I hope they don't do that.
Because what I want to know is, I look for the longevity of the title reigns that they've had.
Yeah.
Because it seems that most of Ric Flair's career he was always the world champion.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had some long reigns, and, John Cena's had some. Well, he had a good long one.
He had
then
one
he had, like,
long
a bunch
one,
of,
and then he had a bunch of medium. You know what I mean?
Like, two or three titled, and then a few paper ones, actually, too.
Right, yeah.
The Hart Foundation was actually a stable from what I was just told.
Well, if you go down this list, they list them all as stables, not factions. So I think,
well,
like we said, faction, we think
just,
faction would
up,
be like a 90s term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
It's the new age term. It's just like, new slang.
But what I'm saying is, I guess for WU, like a stable is a group of 9 to 10 wrestlers or 6 to 10 wrestlers who wrestle in the, for the Unstoppable Stable League or the UPSL.
It should be. The USL stable should be smaller. Because how many factions actually had 10 wrestlers? Like,
right. But what I'm saying is, like I said, I would love this option to create factions where me and Spicy as the Hollywood gods, as we call our tag team, and we want to invite some other people into it. You know what I mean? Like two or three more guys just to hang out. So,
Now that I'm so much older, Hollywood, do you think I could pull off the Ric Flair robe?
You? No, I think you need a kilt.
Yeah, but they don't have a kilt, though.
Maybe by the end of the summer they'll
Kevin
have.
To get a kilt.
I know, we're trying to get him to. But
I'm
you know
old
what?
Enough
he
to
had...
pull off the robe, I think, now.
What was I going to say? Hold on, what was I going to say?
Counted as the greatest wrestler you've ever met in your life?
Not even close to what I was going to say. Now, Kevin said, I think they said somewhere between March and June, the first of the four updates is supposed to come out.
And then they're going to introduce a kilt.
And then they're going to do, then they have three more updates to bring out. Or maybe I said by the end of March. I know we said something where by the fall or by the end of the fall of this year, the last of the four updates is supposed to be done. That's supposed to fix everything.
Hey, Hollywood.
Yes.
Spicy as well. Do you guys know why it's called a kilt?
It's actually called a tartan.
Well,
I think is
yes,
the correct
that is
tartan,
true.
Really.
That
I thought the tartan was the belt, the little thing in front, the little pouch thing in front.
Is
no,
that what it
outfit.
Is?
I thought it
I
was.
I thought it was the whole deal, but I could be wrong too.
Well, I thought the tartan.
Well, the punchline of the joke is they the Scottish done killed anybody who called it a skirt.
Right.
I see. That's good. Yeah. All right. We do have another caller. Back to my earlier point too. What do you think of the whole thing with Roman Reigns? Do the fans now dictate too much power over the outcome of matches and whatnot? And
because look at everything they set up. They set this thing up, and everyone's like, oh, this is going to be great. It's going to be Bryan against Reigns. And Roman Reigns still won the match. He's still going to WrestleMania.
So basically, they've gone ahead and done what they wanted to do. They just appeased the fans.
It seems
well, I
like
think that match made
fans,
perfect
so.
Sense psychology-wise. It's kind of like the same thing when it was John Cena going to The Rock for WrestleMania, but CM Punk was, the fans wanted CM Punk to go because they felt like he deserved it more. They had a match on Raw, like a good 35, 40-minute match. John Cena pulled out all the stops, so did CM Punk, and after that match, no one questioned the validity of John Cena's title fight anymore.
Right.
Speaking of CM Punk, here's something interesting. Apparently,
yes.
CM Punk is creating a ruckus with WWE or Headbean about supposedly having some injury to his back during last year's Royal Rumble or Survivor Series. I can't remember which.
I think you said he had a staph infection.
Yeah,
yeah.
He had a staph infection that went misdiagnosed. And also working with Ryback, he claims, shortened his career because Ryback is dangerous and has injured his knee and the different parts of his body because
and
he can't
heard,
shell shock.
Yeah, and from what I've heard, he's injured a few people because he almost injured Brian. He almost knocked Brian out, too, with a concussion. So so they got pretty mad about that.
The same thing
That's
happened.
That's why his push was stopped.
Back in the day.
Oh, and on a side note, Shifty, I looked this up. Tartan is a pattern of the kilt.
Yeah, he actually.
Oh,
yeah.
I see. It's the,
and
it's
I actually
the
found
plaid.
Out the word, and I'm looking here. The word kilt is actually of Scandinavian origin.
Hmm.
Is it really? That's
it's right here.
That's
yeah.
odd. That's curious.
Yes.
You know the Celts actually wore kilts. Celts wore kilts,
yes.
but they wore kilts of leather, like leather kilts.
Did they really? And I thought they only wore them during combat to taunt the. Their opponents.
Who's that? The Scottish?
Well, anybody. I thought that was the original point of the kilt, but they just wore it during combat so they could moon and, you know, wave their genitals at their opponents to enrage them.
That could very well be.
Well, it's
it
was more loose fitting for all farm work and all the heavy stuff they did, and also combat allowed you to freed up your movements from restrictive trousers.
I think it was so that they could sneak up on sheep and the sheep wouldn't hear their zipper.
Yeah, because sheep can hear a zipper a mile away.
Yeah, that's what I always figured it was.
Now, see, most of your...
Well, back then they didn't have zippers. They were buckles.
...for your family colors.
Well, they didn't want the buckle jangling and stuff. They could just, they wouldn't hear the fabric just going up. I don't know. Anyway, but... So maybe kayfabe isn't dead. They just have to be smarter about
the
way
they really did. Like
presented
like last
to
year, the Undertaker Brock Lesnar match. No one knew what the planned outcome was, and they said they really kept that on you know behind closed doors up until I think they said like the night before or that morning. They didn't know which way they were going to go with that.
Well, they came out and said they still hadn't made up their mind. As the match was going on.
Oh, really? Huh.
I had heard it was just for Triple H on the Stone Cold Bond podcast that it was determined about that night before the match. Reigns was told he was going over.
Oh, we're talking about The Undertaker, though.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, my bad. I didn't even...
No, that too. I also heard about that they weren't sure who was going to win till the next. Although... I had
maybe they have to do that now so it doesn't get out on the internet, right?
Yeah. Because I remember
wrestling. Speaking of The Undertaker, how do you guys feel about Bray Wyatt and all of his, you know, imitations and promos about The Undertaker?
I think it's pointless. I don't see the point of it.
Well, I want to say something.
They're trying to see if the people will let Undertaker pass the torch to Bray, which I think that would be a joke.
Yeah.
You know, after last year's WrestleMania, he has to win this year. You know, otherwise, he's just killed his own career. Because he only wrestles one match a year now. And for him to come in and lose that match again.
Yeah.
What's the point, though?
I mean, basically, Undertaker's retired. And then you have Bray Wyatt calling him out after he's been gone for so long and hasn't shown
his face. What's the point of it?
His promos are lovely. He's talking about Undertaker being in limbo and his soul being restless and how Bray Wyatt is going to take his soul and send him home.
Right.
It's kind of...
This is why. Because he looked absolutely horrible in that match last year. From what I've heard, remember we said in the fall they showed Undertaker looks like an old man? Well, he shaved the goatee. I said this last night on the show. From Monday night, these pictures were released. He shaved the goatee, dyed his hair dark, and he's working out, and there was a picture. He was squatting 900 pounds, and he was working on the heavy bag. Like, he was getting ready to fight.
Wow.
So.
I saw that, and honestly, after Brock Lesnar, I couldn't say it was all his fault for being a shit match, because, honestly, have you seen Brock Lesnar matches?
That's
yeah,
what I'm saying. Well, Undertaker,
like, every F5
coming...
he hit on Undertaker, none of them were executed properly.
No.
Well, why is Lesnar... Why are they making Lesnar the guy right now? Like, why... Who came up
with
him?
Well,
because
he's hot. He's an exotic...
Honey.
He's like Andre the Giant of this generation,
yeah.
But...
Yeah, because he was a US, he was a WWE guy.
He's
and
terrible
then he
in the ring.
You know
he's
what
terrible
is?
He in the
to...
ring. He's
well,
not
he has
good
so many
on
days
the mic.
Off. You think he'd learn to wrestle on all that time he had off.
He's not
That's
good
awesome.
In the
well,
ring,
he...
and he never really has been. And he's always been terrible on the mic. Without Heyman, he needs Heyman to be his mouthpiece.
Oh, he
terrible.
Does. Absolutely.
Oh,
like,
God.
Absolutely.
Without Heyman, it's nothing.
Okay. Now,
Heyman.
you got to say this right. Brock Lesnar is not a wrestler. He is an MMA fighter. That's where he got his start. That's where he wants to
what?
Return to. But
whoa! No, he didn't.
Got a start. He's
well,
an NCAA wrestling
a
champion. He's a WWE
he's a
champion
yes.
and UFC champion.
He was a two-time NCAA champion. Then he came to WWE. Then he went to football, and then he went to UFC. And then he came.
Yeah, that's
then he came
true.
Back. He
yeah.
was WWE first. And
he
I
was actually
called the next big gym. Thing, or the
he was actually
you know
an
what?
Amateur wrestler first.
Yeah, he was an amateur wrestling champion. I thought that was great when they brought him in. I
yeah.
love when they were bringing these amateur wrestling champions in to give stability
yeah.
to wrestling. But they said the problem with that was they weren't ready for the lifestyle, and that's why a bunch of them, that's why they all left already, or
well,
very few
of
them stuck around.
There was an interview with Brock when he was started with WWE. He had said he was looking at the European fight clubs.
Okay.
And that that's what he was trying to train for. But then when he got more money with the wrestling than he would with the fight clubs.
Right, but,
well,
he
my
was
point.
But he was an NCAA wrestler first and foremost.
Yeah.
My point is that the top guy in WWE needs to be entertaining and charismatic, and Lesnar is neither of those.
Yeah, unfortunately. But who? So who,
I
think you know. No matter what I said, this is what I say after WrestleMania. After he beat the Undertaker, I said he's got to win the title at by SummerSlam, and he's going to hold on to it till this WrestleMania. But they have to make him so dominant for the way he beat the Undertaker. Otherwise, you know, that passing the torch or whatever you want to call it meant absolutely nothing.
But you know what? Anybody
what?
Else that has had that title has had to fight for it at least once a month.
Yes,
yeah.
I don't know why they
once
did that. I don't know why.
Once every 3 months is, excuse my French, but I am a redneck, so bullshit.
No, it is. I was like, why isn't he defending his? They didn't even come out and say, oh, he had a house match here. You know, they didn't even make him a bullshit excuse that he defended it somewhere.
It's just wrong. Anybody else would have
well,
to...
Well, kayfabe is dead again, so the fans would totally call that one
right,
out.
Right, that's why you can't do that. But still, they should have had to defend
yeah.
it, I guess, because his contract said he only had to wrestle so many times a year. Then don't give him the title, because he has to defend it at least once a month.
See, there's so many appearances, and once those appearances are done, his contract's up.
Right, and like Drifty said, he's a monster heel. I agree with. All he has to do is be big, bad, and nasty, which he is. I mean, that triple threat match against Rollins and Cena,
when he was out,
and all of a sudden he got up and jumped up on the apron, ran back in the ring, and F5 the two of them back-to-back like that. You know what I mean? When, like, they were getting ready to take him to the hospital, and all of a sudden he just jumped up and came in the ring, just kicked their asses.
Because they gave him a painkiller.
I actually liked that
okay,
entire
but
match.
Still, the
that
way
ending.
He did that, though. You know what I mean? The way he played that.
Yeah, but, okay, you go back to, you know, him only fighting once every 3 months. You look at, and I know he was, Daniel Bryan was injured, but
right.
they told him since he could not defend his champion title
yes.
within 30 days, they were going to have to strip.
Right, I said that earlier on the show.
Oh, yeah.
I said that already, yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what doesn't make any sense to me about this whole thing. But then again, look how long Brian was gone. So he was like, you know, he had surgery. He really did. So I think they were just using that as a storyline excuse.
Yeah, but it to me, I mean, you could even go back. That's why they didn't give The Rock the title that often, because he was not a full-time wrestler.
Well, you could also go with the reason why Brock Lesnar's not around to defend every pay-per-view is that they don't want to bury all their talent to Brock Lesnar as the champion. So instead of, you know, every pay-per-view, it's every other pay-per-view. Well, then there's two or three pay-per-views in between sometimes, but...
Well, you look back. Cena, when he had the title, he was at every show.
That's true. Even go further back.
When Triple H held the title, he was a wrestler.
But do you remember the beginning of back when Hulk Hogan and all that stuff? The title was one defended for, you know, a while. And, you know, because there was only pay-per-views or those events every
that's
few
not
months.
True. Oh, hold on. I brought this up the other night on my show. That's not true at all.
Oh, really?
Because when they were still territory. Remember, my manager lives in the territory where WWE was.
Yeah.
And when they just started having, like, WrestleMania, even when they only had the four pay-per-views here. Sorry, my throat, excuse me. He would defend it either at the Garden, Madison Square Garden, the Philadelphia Spectrum, Boston Gardens, the Continental Airlines Arena in New Jersey. You know,
and at least once a month on the Saturday night's main event, too.
Right. So if there was no Saturday night main event that month, I think they only did Saturday night's main event once every other month. But then he would defend the title at one of those arenas.
Yeah.
So, and trust me, my manager had the Madison Square Garden network back then, and the coolest thing was they would show...
It was defended at least once a month, if not...
At least once a month. Because they would show... Because they would show, like, the Madison Square Garden cards, they would show them either live or a replay within a week they would be on.
I think Flair used to defend his title probably once a week at least.
And twice on Sundays.
I'm about to really date myself.
Okay.
Memphis Wrestling. Ric Flair was the world title holder for the NWA.
Yes, okay.
Lawler was the regional title for Memphis area.
Okay.
It was the first time Ric Flair wrestled in Memphis. Jerry Lawler more or less tricked him into giving a title shot to Lawler. 10 minutes.
I remember
time
that. I actually remember that.
1982? Yeah, it was 82.
Okay.
Yeah. Ric Flair almost got beat. And Ric Flair jumped out of the ring, demanded 5 more minutes. Lawler was about to beat him for the title. Ric Flair jumped out of the ring, grabbed the title, and left.
Okay.
Lawler said, "Well, I'm the champion now." Ric Flair came back out and said, "All right, show me the contract. Show me where you have a contract that I defended this title." They couldn't, so Flair was still the champion.
Wow.
Slick Rick. Dirtiest
player in the game.
Yeah.
And then the Mouth of the South came out with Ric Flair. Ric Flair wrote him a check for $10,000 for Jerry Lawler's career. He said he would sign the check when Jimmy Hart showed him that Jerry Lawler was no longer a wrestler.
Okay, and I think I just found it on YouTube. Here is the link.
You
and
found
that
match?
I think and I think it's a trash talk beforehand because I just played a few seconds of it, and Jerry Lawler comes out to talk to what the hell is his name?
Classic stuff.
8/14/82.
Yeah.
That would be I could see him.
Does anyone remember Memphis Wrestling? When I can't remember who it was. I remember seeing a match a long time ago, and I can barely remember. It was Rowdy Roddy Piper, and he challenged someone to an amateur-style wrestling match because they had been bragging about
Jack
their
Briscoe?
Amateurs.
Was that Jack Briscoe? Or Gerald Briscoe?
I can't remember. But the guy starts beating Piper, and Piper kicks him in the ribs and starts just stomping on him.
It sounds like one of the Briscoes. It sounds like one of the Briscoes.
I think it was one of the Briscoes.
Because I remember seeing it on the archives.
Yeah.
Of course, that same night, Dutch Mantell attacked Bill Dundee.
That wasn't the night he's talking about.
Oh, no.
I don't remember when this was. It was in the early 80s, probably, in Memphis Wrestling, I think. Roddy Piper. Yeah, I kind of thought it was Roddy Piper, and I thought it was Flair, actually, maybe, but maybe not either. I don't know. He challenges someone to a collegiate-style wrestling match, and they're not supposed to punch or kick or anything, and then the guy starts winning, and then Piper kicks him and starts beating him.
I'm going to watch this match later. Sorry.
Oh, that one's classic. Yeah, that's a good match.
Well, see,
here's the king.
Wrestling and not
sports entertainment.
Yeah.
No, I was at the studio when that happened.
The Piper match?
No, the Lawler-Ric Flair.
Oh, Lawler and Flair, yeah.
Again,
the
just
dated...
The
good old territory days, yeah. The good old territory days.
Yeah.
Those were the days. I don't think wrestling will ever be so good again.
Well, you know what's funny now? I would say on my cable, I have found two indie promotions.
Really?
Wrestling Syndicate and... was it Hollywood Wrestling that used to be the NWA Hollywood Wrestling?
Oh, yeah.
I forget what it's called now, but I have my DVR set to watch both of them, and they're on like 4:30 in the morning. I think one's on a Tuesday and the other's on a Sunday morning. So.
Does anyone watch the Monday Night Wars on the WWE Network?
No, I wish I did.
I've been meaning to. I just haven't actually got around to it.
Oh, man. It just reminded me that wrestling has no competition anymore. There's no... The WWE has no competitor in ratings or anything, and it brings the quality of all wrestling down so much. You need that competition. That was probably the last really good time of wrestling was then.
I said second McMahon when we found out McMahon bought WCW. I said that killed the whole business.
It really did. It hurt it really badly.
Because a wrestler couldn't argue for a contract. They had to take whatever Vince wanted to give them. And, you know, the quality was going to go down because they didn't have the competition anymore.
Yeah, because TNA is no competition for WWE,
no.
And Ring of Honor, it's nothing. Like, it's small.
Well, TNA could have been if, when they brought Hogan in, they actually did some, you know, good innovative things as opposed to just rehashing old stupid, trying to outdo WWE out with WWE style. Why not just be TNA? TNA had a successful thing going.
TNA's just a rehashed WCW. Really?
Yeah, well, TNA did bring back.
That's pretty much what they did with Eric Bischoff, Hulk Hogan, the Wolfpack.
I will say their female division is.
Oh, dude, their female division was best in the world.
They
had
knockout.
A,
they had got
knockout
the best female division.
Age match.
Knockouts are the best.
Yeah,
they are so much better than the Divas.
Tank Girl says
Victoria,
NXT.
ODB.
I'm sorry. Tank Girl says NXT is where it's at. It's better talent than what they have now, but you got to remember NXT. They're being taught to wrestle the WWE style.
Yeah,
You know,
it is entertaining though. It is an entertaining show.
Oh, it is.
NXT is so much better than Raw, and it's funny because Triple H has actual full control over NXT. That's his child. Raw.
What's the name of that Irish fella? Finn something. What's the? No, it's Finn something. Finn Balor. He's got the face paint and everything.
Yes.
I like that guy, That guy.
Oh, and I found out it was called, what did I just say it was called? Classic Hollywood. Oh, damn it, I just had the name up and I lost it. Damn it, hold on.
And they got Kevin Steen there now, but they call him Kevin Owens. Why do they call him Kevin Owens? Why didn't they just keep him as Kevin Steen, right?
Sorry, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. That's the other one I watch now.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
in the WWE, they took a guy from Japan who had a well-established name, and they changed his name. He just said he was going to wrestle as a new name in WWE. So WWE likes to change the names. That's why Bryan Danielson is, you know, Daniel Bryan.
Right.
His real name's actually Bryan Danielson.
Yes.
Well, I know. I just, you know.
Yeah. I don't know why they do that when everyone knows who they were anyway. Like,
Steen was already well established too in first NWA Hollywood and then Ring of Honor. And he was also well established in Canada long before that too.
Same with Seth Rollins. They both were well established names on the indie circuit.
Yeah. So I don't know who they think they're fooling in this day and age of where we just said kayfabe's dead. You can find anything out on the internet in seconds. I don't know. I don't know why they do that.
Part
it's kind
of it
like
is, I think they
fans intelligence.
I think
What's
part
that?
Of it is they copyright. I think they copyright the names. So if they, you know, get all the talent, so when they leave, they can't use that name.
Yeah. Look at Mr. Kennedy when he left WWE,
exactly.
He had to change to Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, true.
A lot of the names are copyrighted.
That's
only
why
like the
Ultimate
Hulk
Warrior.
Hogan, okay. A few people.
Right.
That's why the Ultimate Warrior actually changed his name to Warrior, so that they couldn't own his name or whatever. Illegally changed his name.
The commentator I was thinking of, Lance Russell.
Oh yeah, I remember him. Yeah.
That's the video I have up. It starts out with the king walking out with his crown to talk to Lance Russell. I'll watch all that later. I just wanted to know that was the right one though. So.
I remember him and Gordon Solie. All those guys.
Yes.
Eric Bischoff actually began as a announcer.
He was horrible. He's
yeah.
Who was, now? Do y'all know who the promoter for Memphis Wrestling was?
Yes, I just can't remember.
Was it the Jarretts?
Yep, Jarrett.
I thought so. Yeah. The Jarretts.
He was half owner. Who was the other half owner?
Jim Crockett.
No, Jerry Lawler.
Oh,
Jerry
Lawler.
Okay.
He bought half interest after his, I think, sixth year in Memphis.
Because the Jarretts had Memphis, and who had Florida? The Grahams. The Grahams, Mike Graham. And
yeah, I think they had that.
I think they had Florida, right? And then the McMahons had, like, the East Coast. New York,
yeah,
and everything.
They had Northeast. Yeah, Northeast.
Cornette with the Texas wrestling and all that.
Yeah. Oh, the good old territory days. I wish
I
there was one competitor.
That's a lot of what's wrong with wrestling nowadays, or excuse me, sports entertainment, is they just combined everything. It's back to the competition thing. There's no competition anymore.
It never should have became sports entertainment. I miss pro wrestling.
No. Yeah. Well, like I said, Triple H said he is more, he wants it more pro wrestling. So that's why I'm hoping he takes over. Like when McMahon officially retires one day, you know, and Triple H is still there, he'll get it back to pro wrestling. But how long is that going to be?
Yeah. McMahon says on the Monday Night Wars, he talks about Ted Turner calling him up when he started WCW. And he says, "Hey, Vince, I'm in the wrestling business now." And Vince says, "Well, you're in a different business than me then." And he says, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, I'm in the sports entertainment business and you're in the wrestling business." Right? He's making fun of his accent.
Yeah.
But it should have never become sports entertainment. That really killed it. Killed a lot of things. And that's when McMahon just came out and said, "Hey, it's fake. It's a put on." You know, even before there was the internet, you made that point earlier when we were talking Hollywood.
Yeah. In the late '80s, when they were filed, on the stand, no less, he said that.
Yeah.
I was like, come on, you know. So he said a lot of wrestlers were disappointed with that. I was like, really? You just killed the magic.
I'll say, I remember, and this is dating myself, back when my manager would watch wrestling with my granddaddy. I mean, back in the late 70s. okay.
Back then.
I remember, as far back as I can remember, my granddaddy and I always watching Mr. Wrestling 1. Before he retired, I mean, and the beginnings of the Four Horsemen, and that was was exciting. Nowadays, it's all about the drama. It should be more about the wrestling again. Really,
right.
It should be more about the wrestling again. That was the reason us old school fans fell in love with it in the first place. Get rid of the soap opera. Go back to the damn wrestling. And don't worry so much about who can talk on the mic. Let's get back to the wrestling.
Back in the
I'm okay with the old soap opera a little bit. Like, I have an overall arch, but
there's always been the soap opera. Just, I don't know. Somehow back in the day it would seem more believable or something than...
It wasn't as shoved down your throat. The controversy wasn't every week. It was, you know, every few months they swerved you. They didn't swerve you all the time.
Yeah, it's like
now we're used to it.
Every week, Dirty Dutch Mantel would come out on the mic and just go after whoever he was up against that week.
Well, there's always been the good
talkers,
right? Like there's always been the good mic guys, and they always did make it a little more entertaining, like Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes. Back in the day, Dusty Rhodes was great on a promo or whatever. Like, there's always been that element, I guess. But everyone's trying to do that.
I mean, Sid Vicious, when he'd get the mic, yeah, he didn't talk a lot, but he could talk.
Yeah.
You go back to, I mean, like we were saying, Bobby the Brain Heenan. Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, even though he had an irritating voice, he got his point across.
Oh, did he ever?
Southern
when
Paul
you used
Heyman.
To hear him screaming through that megaphone at ringside, oh, man.
Yeah.
So nerve-wracking.
Now you watch Dutch Mantel as the manager of We the People.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But, I mean...
Zeb, what is it, Zeb Coulter?
Bruiser Brody. There's a guy that it'll knock your teeth down your throat and then pick you up and have fun with you.
I think there's always been that element of the, you know, the talkers, but it wasn't everyone. It wasn't necessary to get over in the business. You could get over on your athleticism or whatever, but my favorite guys were always the guys like Ric Flair and Rowdy Piper that were entertaining talkers as well. I think Rowdy Piper brought
was
a
Ed.
Whole new... What's that you say?
Edge? He always had a good mic.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot more common nowadays. Back then, there were just a few here and there that were... There was guys that could talk, too, but there was very, like... I don't know. It wasn't as... I don't know. It was different back then. The storylining was different. It was more of a sports competition sort of thing where the storyline, all it needed to be was one guy has the belt and this other guy wants it.
That was also back when you had more actual managers.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't have as... the storylines back then weren't as elaborate. But then you did get the odd thing like that, like so-and-so would have a ring valet, and so-and-so would steal the ring valet, or they would wrestle a match for her, or things like that. Like, they did get like that, too. But,
y'all remember the Moondogs?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
I miss all the managers. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just want to throw that out there.
It is kind of a lost art, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that's when you had, like, the Hart family. Not the Hart Foundation, but the Mouth of the South when he had his family.
Yeah.
He managed Jerry Lawler for a little while. Of course, Lawler said he used him just to get the title. Jimmy Hart managed Hulk Hogan.
Right.
My favorite manager growing up was definitely Bobby the Brain Heenan and the Heenan family, I think.
who remembers the tennis racket?
Oh, Jim Cornette.
Jim Cornette.
Yeah. Midnight Express. Is that the only team he managed, the Midnight Express? Did Cornette actually manage anyone else? I only ever remember him managing the Midnight Express.
Yeah, but he managed several teams in the AWA.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't watch a lot of AWA.
Who did he manage the AWA?
What was that?
Who did he manage in the AWA?
Oh, you'd have to make me look.
I will look. Hold on. I got it. I'm on it.
But, I mean, he was AWA. He also was NWA. I mean, he's been in wrestling for, 40 years?
Okay, I'm trying to see here what they have to say here about AWA.
I think he's in Ring of Honor now, is he not?
No. He's now promoting his books and podcasts.
All right, tell me what it says here. I'm sorry, about Cornette and NWA slash... Oh, no, that's NWA WCW, or World Championship Wrestling, World Class Championship Wrestling he was in.
Yeah.
He managed the Midnight Express against the Fantastics.
Yeah.
They went elsewhere. All right, he was in Smoky Wrestling. He was in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, WWF, WE from 93 to 2005, TNA from 2006 to 2009. He went to Ring of Honor and OVW. Doesn't say anything about AWA.
You gotta
go. Oh, wow, hold on. Here are all the teams he managed. Ready? Midnight Express, Dennis Condrey and Bobby Eaton, and then Bobby Eaton and Sam Lane. He did manage the Fantastics at one point, Fulton and Rogers, the Fabulous Ones, the Dynamic Dudes, Johnny and Shane, the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, the Heavenly Bodies, Stan Lane and Tom Pritchard, or Tom Pritchard and Jimmy Del Rey, the dynamic duo of Al Snow and Unabom, good lord, the Headhunters, Headhunter A and Headhunter B, great names. The New Midnight Express of Bombastic Bob and Bodacious Bart, no idea. Owen Hart and Yokozuna, I remember that. Crush and Yokozuna, yes. Owen Hart and the British Bulldog, okay. The Briscoe Brothers, Jay and Mark. Another team, Jeff Collette and Sam Lane. The Harris Brothers, Don and Ron. And then Jeff Jarrett and Barry Windham. When did he manage those guys?
Yeah. Well, where was that?
I'm looking here. Huh. It was a Monday Night Raw.
Really?
Raw episodes. Yeah.
Really? I don't remember that.
I don't remember that.
Windham. The only time I remember Windham doing anything in WWF that was worth noting would be when he teamed up with Rotunda and they were the US Express.
Yes.
And they had the tag titles for a bit. And then after that, he was pretty much a mid-carder. A mid-carder with some really bad gimmicks, like the Widowmaker.
The Stalker. Oh, God.
Yeah, the Stalker. The Widowmaker. Just let him be Barry Windham. He's good enough. Another case of NWA World Champ going to the WWF and becoming a mid-carder. I don't know why they always seem to do that, but even when Dusty went to WWF, he was more or less a mid-carder. Like, I think he had the Intercontinental title, but he had been a 3-time NWA World Champion just before that.
In WWE, he was only a 2-time World Tag Team Champion with Mike Rotunda.
Yeah, that was it, eh? Yeah.
That was it. That was there. Then he went to Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling. He was a 2-time heavyweight champion there.
He was really good in the NWA. He used to be one of my favorite guys to watch, actually.
Mine too. Yeah, he was great in the NWA.
Yeah.
Wow, he had a lot of NWA titles. In the Jim Crockett Promotions World Championship Wrestling, he had the NWA US Heavyweight Championship, the US Tag Team Championship with Ron Garvin, I love this title. The Western States Heritage Championship.
I remember that one.
I remember. And I remember in all the wrestling magazines. Can somebody please explain to me where they got this name from?
Yeah.
The one-time World Heavyweight Champion. And then he was the Mid-Atlantic / WCW World Tag Team Champion 4 times with Lex Luger once, Dustin Rhodes once, Kurt Hennig once, and his brother Kendall Windham once. And then he was the WCW World Television Champion 1 time. Wow. He was an NWA All-Star Wrestling World Tag Team Champion with Tully Blanchard. And that was North Carolina.
Really?
Yes, and that was North Carolina. He has a lot of titles. He had Championship Wrestling from Florida. I think he had all the belts, too, at one point. I mean, throughout his career there. Florida Global Tag Team Champion with Ron Bass. Six-time Florida Heavyweight Champion. Florida Tag Team Champion two times, once with Mike Ram, and then once with Scott McGee. A three-time.
So he held a lot of gold in, like, every territory, pretty much.
Yeah, he did. Oh, yeah. Three-time television champion in Florida. North American Tag Team Champion, Florida version with Mike Ram. Two more titles, sorry. Southern Heavyweight Championship, Florida version two times, and the U.S. Tag Team Championship three times with Mike Rotunda in Florida. So there you go. And there's a whole bunch more titles I could read, but that would take the rest of the show.
I was watching a Madison Square Gardens match the other night. It was Mike actually, I think it was at WrestleMania 1.
Okay.
And it was Mike Rotunda and Barry Windham against the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov for the tag titles. And the WWF always got Rotunda's name wrong. It was always Mike Rotundo.
Mm.
But anywhere else, it was Mike Rotunda.
Well, I think they changed it. I don't know. Maybe that's the way they pronounce it.
You think it was intentional? Yeah, maybe it was intentional.
It was spelled Rotunda, but they always said Rotundo. I don't know why, but...
I don't know. No, they actually had it spelled Rotundo.
Oh, they did? Okay. All right.
When they said it, yeah. I don't know. I think it was WrestleMania 1. Was WrestleMania 1 at the Gardens?
Yes, it was, yep. And that wasn't even on pay-per-view. That was on closed circuit. They didn't have pay-per-view yet.
I remember when I was younger, the first WrestleMania I saw was WrestleMania 2, and it was on closed circuit television from the London Gardens here.
Yeah, well, if you remember, that's the one that was held in three locations. What was it, New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles?
Yeah. Oh, it was the boxing match with, was it the boxing match with Mr. T and Piper?
Piper, yeah. That was that one. What was it? Then you had, I'm trying to remember. I think that was on Long Island, the Nassau Coliseum, because each one of them had their own main event. I'm using quotations. Because I think Chicago, the main event was the Battle Royal, that like the refrigerator, William the Refrigerator Perry was in.
The NFL.
And then the main
players,
event in Los Angeles was the main event of the card. Hogan against Bundy in the steel cage.
I still remember that. Big John Studd throws out Refrigerator Perry. Or no, Refrigerator Perry throws out Big John Studd. Studd offers to shake his hand and then pulls him out. Is that how it went? Or was it
the other way around?
Maybe it was the other way around, yeah.
I think it was the other way around, so.
Yeah, it could have been.
I found something about Jim Cornette.
Okay.
In 82, promoter Jerry Jarrett made the 21-year-old Cornette the manager of Sherry Martel.
Wow.
And Cornette's gimmick of rich kid turned inept manager, whose clients kept firing him after one match. The most notable wrestler in this angle was Dutch Mantel.
Oh. Wow. Interesting.
Oh, okay, the Battle Royal, it was actually WWF versus, it was billed as WWF versus NFL.
Yeah.
And it featured 20 men, including WWF wrestlers and NFL superstars.
Is it the one that ended with Andre the Giant against the two members of the Hart Foundation?
Yes, and he threw both of them out, yes.
Yeah.
Not at the same time. He threw out Neidhart first and then Bret Hart.
Yeah. What do you think of the new tag team champions before we run out of time
I think they have potential to be very good champions. I really do. Cesaro's a great wrestler, and I remember this team formed. We were saying, why they team them up? Unless they're going to do something, it's like, what are they? Are they, you know, are they burying Cesaro? Do they have plans for these guys? And
here's their name, Kid Cesaro.
What was that? Kid Cesaro. Yeah. Is that really the name of the team, or are you just bullshitting us?
He's just suggesting
interesting
name for them. But all right, well, we're just about out of time. It's been a good show. Thanks for all your hard work in fact finding Hollywood, and
I always try my best for you.
And thanks to our callers and all those who joined us in the chat and listened in tonight. And I guess we'll see you in 2 weeks, or not next week, but the next.
You forgot about it.
What did I forget?
My tease.
What?
My tease for 2 weeks from tonight.
Oh, well, go ahead, quickly.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You've got about 2 minutes.
That's all I need. In the spirit of the old McHaggis radio, when Spicy and myself were going to do In Search of the Unknown, or the Unbelievable, Who Really Cares, was the United States flight to the moon faked? Do the Chinese have us beat? Is there evidence of other civilizations living on the moon? Perhaps Mars? Stay tuned for 2 weeks. We should have the X-Files music playing when I say that. You know that?
Oh, yeah. I wish I had it.
That's what I'm perfect.
I can't even imitate
it. It's all right. We don't have it.
How would this? The Twilight Zone. Okay.
Join us in search of...
That was fascinating, Hollywood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is that going to be on the Super Show or on this show?
Oh, that'll be on this show.
On this show.
On McHaggis Radio. Our next episode.
We could do this show next week because Steffers isn't on anymore, but we'll decide on that later. So probably in 2 weeks' time, we'll say.
All right.
All right.
Yes.
We'll take
care
of all.
I think my boys... Yes, we'll need 2 weeks to gather all the facts properly. So.
All right. 2 weeks for all the fact-finding with this fascinating and intriguing special that we'll have. All right. We'll take care all.
Yes. Have a good night, everybody.
How to be but angry, feel infected like we got gangrene. Please don't let anybody try to change me. Me, just me in the middle of a sea full of faces. Some laugh, some salivate. What's in your alleyway? Recycling bins or bullet cases? It's not equal, it's not fair. We're different people, but we're not scared. We ain't never scared to pave a new path, make a new street, build a new bridge. Say, can you see by the dawn's early light? Free slaves running songs, words weren't right. Now a new day's coming, the few stays turning. While the many are handsome, your soul is alive, but they want it for ransom. The bass drumming is the anthem. We step to the heartbeat of our granddaughters and grandsons and rise. Together we rise, 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 together we rise. By your surroundings, did the walls scream university, or you and I burst the T's, react automatic and we burst the squeeze, and make 9/11 each emergency, urgency, amber to red like the turning leaves. Oh please let the hurt be seen, don't let apathy police the populace, we will march across those stereotypes that were marked for us, the answer's obvious, we twist the continents and change the thoughts to words and the continent.
Together we rise, together we rise.